podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Talk Skills Podcast. My name is Sibu. Today, I'm joined by Jake. Say hello, Jake.
Hi, guys. Welcome back.
So, the league's over, mate. It's done, mate. No, it's not. But that would be the general opinion of reactionary football Twitter that the league is done. But, well, I mean, it's most likely, it's very much in Man City's hands now, and a lot needs to go wrong for the title race to be completely over. I mean, it was a difficult time to play Spurs for Liverpool. You know, Spurs will still get quite a lot to play for, still heavily competing for top four. So it wasn't ever going to be a match where Spurs would roll over. They made themselves very difficult to break down for Liverpool. But Liverpool looked off the boil as well. You know, not so much in the press. I thought the pressing was amazing that Liverpool did. But the passing and crosses, I thought, were particularly poor on that day. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, mate. I thought the four looked leggy. I thought they looked a bit tired. I think that was summed up by Robertson coming off on the 60th minute for Tsimikas. Credit to Spurs. I mean, we'll probably both admit we're not a fan of the way that Spurs play or that Conte plays, but, you know, it certainly got the job done. It got them a point, which is important to them. You know, it's not just about Liverpool. It's important to Spurs. They're still in the top four race, so... You know, I think what they're a point behind Arsenal. They've played a game more. Or have they played a game more as it stands? No, Arsenal played today, didn't they? Yeah. Now that they're equal.
They can still catch Arsenal, but it's highly unlikely.
It's difficult for them, but, you know, it's like Liverpool. You're never out of it until it's all over. So who knows, really? Who knows? I mean... They've got a North London derby next, so that's massive for them. I mean,
that's a six-pointer. That's where they 100%. Make up the points, you know. That's where they can catch up, and then they'll come within a point of Arsenal, you know. Mm-hmm.
And then it's very interesting after that. But no, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I think the league, like I said, the league title, it's never a bit like Spurs. It's never over till it's over. But, you know, this Man City side, a bit like this Liverpool side, they're both capable of going unbeaten now for, like, you know, till next December. It's like that sort of, they're both that good. It's a bit, it's crazy how good these two sides are, but I've seen a lot of Liverpool fans online, you know, saying that this season's a failure. It's like, hang on.
It's been a fantastic season.
Still in with a shout with three trophies, so to call this season a potential failure is a joke. This was the only trophy that wasn't in our hands, you know. The Champions League, the FA Cup, the League Cup, they're all in our hands. At the end of the day, we were 14 points behind Man City a couple of months ago. To get it back to being a title race is a credit to these players and how good they are.
When did they get into cup finals stop being important? Stop being an achievement? for my entire life, getting to a cup final was, you know, you did well to get
it. It's the bee's knees, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I personally think that Man City will go on to win the league. If I was to call it, that would be my opinion. I don't think it's done until it's done. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen. The pressure, because this is with Man City being out of the Champions League, they need to go and win the Premier League.
They need to win the league.
So that's the pressure that comes with that is maybe one thing that could swing in Liverpool's favour. Mm-hmm. However, if I was to call it, I do think Man City are going to go and win the league because they have very minimal goal games left. Liverpool need to think about the Champions League and FA Cup final as well. I think if Liverpool draw or lose another fixture, I think they should really start thinking about rotating and resting players and giving other players minutes and not saying settling for second, but if it really does become like massively out of their reach.
I mean, at the start of the season, didn't we, Simo, that as Liverpool fans we'd be happy with, you know, domestic trophies with one or both of them. So to have potentially both of them and the Champions League, I mean, well, that to me is a fantastic season and not many better seasons than that. That's what a season that is. If it's a very big if, you know, Chelsea and Real Madrid are two very, very good sides. Could turn out the Liverpool will only win the League Cup this season. But, you know, to get to this point, what are we now, the eighth of May, and for Liverpool to still have a chance of winning every trophy that they can win this season, it's not happened in my lifetime. So the closest we come to it is 2001, but, you know, the league was never an option back then. So fair credit to Jurgen Klopp and these players because...
Mate, they've lost two league games this season. Well, 35 games in a season.
It's a joke,
they've lost two league games, right? They're not going to get criticism for me for that. You know, no. You can do right. You can There's eight draws in there. There's arguably a lot of poor draws in there. The Liverpool probably could have went out and got something from those games, and that's fine, you know. But that's football, and this Manchester City, like they dominate every team they play that's not Liverpool, personally, you know. Yeah, even if even Real Madrid, they go through, you know, for two late equalizers. And pretty much extra time, and then give away a poor penalty. There's always an element. And this is for teams that aren't Liverpool, because I do think Liverpool are pretty much the only club in world football that can genuinely go and take a game to Man City.
Yeah,
on any day, you know what I mean. And Man City just seem to really steamroll opposition. I mean, that's a Newcastle side. They go in. They're not going off into Man City on the back of a win. They obviously lost the previous match, but they're still playing, and they've still got a lot of momentum. You know, they've been playing really, really well. They're trying to press, because you know there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, business done in the summer, so their players are trying to stake a claim for next season, essentially. You know, so there's still a bit to play for there. And I didn't watch the full game. I watched part of it, and I just kind of, you know. I was that's going to do me. But from what I've seen, they were just blowing Newcastle away. So it's, I mean, that's Man City. Yeah. They blow teams away, mate. They devastate them. I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised that Liverpool have even anywhere near the goal difference that came within four goals.
Do you know what, mate? A lot of people are saying, you know, that Liverpool have almost sort of thrown it away. I don't understand why, because we were never in the position to win the league anyway. But to be anywhere near this Man City side, which spent, you know, £1 billion, and that's the figure that everyone keeps quoting as, isn't it? You know,
it's more than that.
They spent over £1 billion on players and this and that and this and that. You know, for this Liverpool side to be within, what, 3 points of Man City is absolutely staggering, considering that the players that Liverpool have signed compared to the players that Man City have signed, you know, the players that Liverpool signed, barring Thiago, you could arguably say that none of them were world class when Liverpool signed them. But it's through coaching and hard work that Jurgen Klopp's turned these players into world class players and then into a world class team. For Liverpool to be in the title race at all is fantastic. And if it wasn't for Liverpool, then this league would be quickly turning into, you know, the Bundesliga or Ligue 1 or other leagues, because it is very much a one-way system at the minute, and we're the only ones that can counter Man City, but apparently we're bad for football.
I think Liverpool did a really, really good job of taking international class players and elevating them. I think Luis Diaz was far and away the best player in Portugal. He was the best informed player in Portugal. He was the most valuable player in Portugal. It was clear that he was going to exit that league to one of the top five leagues in Europe. And for the Liverpool to get him, I think it was and take him on and push him, I think he's been hugely important to Liverpool's season. I still think that tournament-wise, that Liverpool would have probably done the same job, but I think they wouldn't have got this close in the league to Manchester City had it not been for a really positive January signing. And the eyes, but I think that, I mean, people have really, really high sort of FIFA Football Manager expectations.
Oh, it's ridiculous!
Anything but absolute victory. Anything but a quadruple is failure. You know, and it's just not the way football works. To be honest, that's, you know, if that's how you try and enjoy football every season, then you're going to be less disappointed most seasons. You know, you've got to take your sort of like get to these amount of finals, playing this amount. We're going to play every game possible this season. That's a hugely positive thing. If St Mirren would do that, I'd fucking run down the street naked.
You know, if St Mirren won one trophy, you'd run down the street naked.
I did, mate. I did, and I will again when if we happen to win one before I die. You know, I mean, then listen, I think it's been a hugely, hugely positive season for Liverpool. I think they've made strides in areas. I think the Diogo Jota coming on and just sort of being a really good sign, and the additional Luis Diaz, and they'll finally get depth in the front three, which is great. I think if they can nail down Mane and Salah, that'd be hugely positive news as well.
Yeah. But
I don't think this Liverpool side's going anywhere. They're going to be right up there next season. And, you know, they're potentially going to finish the season with, obviously, they still absolutely could finish with a quadruple. It's just highly unlikely, but I think that there's a good chance. I think a double's definitely on, and I think a treble is potentially on the cards as well. So, I mean, that's a good season in my mind.
Fucking damn right it is, especially after last year. Jesus Christ.
You know, and for those people that are going to be, you know, heartbroken that Liverpool don't win the season this year, it's that's. I mean, it's not, they're not, Liverpool aren't going to go, no team is going to go and win back to back titles, or multiple titles in a sort of short period of time, other than Manchester City, because
especially considering the rumor that they're up to spend $300 million in the summer. Fucking.
Yep. So, that's the thing about Manchester City, I think, that separates them from most other cities, is that they are so quick to plug gaps. Anywhere they see a weakness, they are quick to plug it. Right?
It's the unlimited fortune, right? That's why. It's,
yeah.
They can afford to make mistakes in the transfer market and not let it affect them. And it's that simple, whereas teams like Liverpool and arguably you could say Man United as well now and just Spurs and Arsenal, they can't afford to make mistakes in the market because they don't have the endless piles of money to allow them to make those mistakes. They've got to get it bang on. And we've seen with Man United this, you know, recently, when you make mistakes badly in the market, it really does affect you.
And when you make more than one mistake, when you make multiple mistakes
just over consecutive,
you can really find
seasons.
Yourself. We'll come on to Manchester United just now. But that is my reason why I don't think anybody's going to come to that sort of Manchester City level until maybe at some point football level itself out. You know, for that to happen, there needs to be some sort of change to the way clubs are spending money. And I don't know what shape that'll come in, but until then, I think, you know, Manchester City, they're going to be top dogs. And a lot of people will be like, well, they lack depth in left-back or something like that, you know, and they don't. They have out-and-out left-backs at the club.
But that's so funny. You can never have the excuse of we lack depth.
that was an old joke that, you know, 500 million sat on the bench. And positions that they're... You know, when they're going to play players outside of positions with people that can play those positions on the bench, you know, you cannot see the depth card, unfortunately. But we'll come on to Manchester United because we should come on to Brighton because they absolutely deserve credit. I mean, a lot of people are saying just how bad Man United were. Man United were terrible, shocking. But Brighton were superb. Brighton's passing in this game and Brighton's pressing in this game was unreal. Unreal. They were absolutely superb. They were out to prove something. I don't know what. I think they just knew that the Manchester United had come to town. They hadn't been very good at home this season, Brighton. In fact, they've been poor at home. So I think they've seen this as a game to go and put a marker down. Obviously, if Brighton goes and beats a big team like Manchester United, that's something the fans remember and they go home happy. And they certainly, you know, laid down a marker and said, you know, we're not messing about here. We're going to absolutely smash through this team. And they did, mate. It was fantastic. Oh.
Yeah, they certainly did, mate. I mean, what more can you say before I come on to Brighton? It was worse than that. What can you say about how bad Man United have been recently? They are absolutely shocking, aren't they?
Garbage, mate.
And, like, I think this is their worst points tally that they'll finish the season with since, I think, 1991, I believe they still got 2 points for winning a game back then. But, I mean... Brighton was superb. They looked really good. It was sort of like a bit... It's quite nice for Graham Potter because we've always said in the past, isn't it, that they play such good football and yet they fail to score. But today, they, you know, they got that nice combination. Well, yesterday...
It's always the end product. The build-up is normally very good. It's normally just that final ball in the back of the net. You know, but they weren't lacking it. So the goals were superbly well taken.
Yeah, they were. They were all very good. I mean, you know, long-range screamers...
That cooker air, just that rocketed into the top corner, like
the bastard strike, but I mean, they were fantastic, mate. Really, really good. Really, really good side, Brighton as well. Made up for them, but my God, Man United are terrible.
That Ten Hag, he's got a job, mate. Yeah, really, really tough job to change the culture. Yeah. They've got some faces outgoing. I think Cavani's going to leave. Ronaldo,
he's leaving. Jones.
Jones, I think. Lingard's going to definitely depart. He's already declared he has no interest in renewing any contract. So you're not going to see a last minute. Because I know sometimes...
He'll be going.
Pog, I don't know.
His contract.
I don't know, you know. I don't know if he will. I think he will, just because he knows he'll get more money if he goes in a free than he will with a transfer.
They'd be very stupid to re-sign him on a main contract.
But they
that's very Man United.
Yeah, I was going to say a very Man United thing to do would be like, you think a player's departing, and it was like when they renewed Phil Jones's contract and he hadn't played for ages, I was like, that's a silly thing to do. Or when he didn't sell Lingard when he actually had some value in the market.
Yeah.
Lingard has not played any sort of decent minutes for, he's played minutes this season, I grant you, and the sum of that was he messed up a pass in the Europa League or something like that. And that caused them to exit the competition. So it's or something along those lines. You know, I just remember what I've seen from Jesse Lingard this season was definitely in Europe, and it was poor. So they could have capitalised. They could have got themselves, you know, went and got 30, 40 million, maybe. You know, Everton were still looking to spend at that time. You know, West Ham definitely wanted them. Moyes was very open in saying he was trying to communicate that he wanted Jesse Lingard on either another loan with an option to buy or a loan with a high fee. And Newcastle wanted him as well. Listen, they could have made some money on that player. They didn't capitalise on having him in the squad.
No, they would lose him for free.
So, yeah, I think... And if the player's reluctant to leave because he's going to get like a lesser salary, then, you know, you force him out. You know, you hit him with a big stick.
The interesting one about Ronaldo, sorry, going back to him, is if United don't get... I mean, they won't get the Champions League. I think it's impossible now, but...
No, they won't.
If they end up in the Conference League, for instance... Is Cristiano Ronaldo going to want to play on a Thursday in Lithuania, perhaps? Do you know what I mean? They face a massive struggle. I think I seen a stat the other day that without Ronaldo, I think they'd be like 17th in the league or something this season, which I know... I know those sorts of stats aren't great because realistically there would be...
There would be a striker in Ronaldo's place.
Yeah, there'd be someone else in that place. But realistically, some of the goals that Ronaldo scores... Other players don't score, do you know what I mean? But if he goes and they don't... I mean, obviously, they're going to sign players, but how much have they got to spend? You know, Ten Hag's coming in. And the other thing is, you know...
For me, it's not even about who comes in. It's who goes.
They've got that's to get the rid of that thing. The thing
get
with Man United
those
now
players
is,
out of that squad, you know...
They've got to give him time. They can't just... If they finish eighth again next season, for instance... They can't just go, oh, it's clearly not working. We need to get someone else in, because that's not how it works. Like, it's ridiculous. But at the minute, they're the type of club that would do that. You know, he'd get rid of all the deadwood and stuff and start, maybe, you know, the performances aren't great, but they're getting results, but or the other way around, you know. They're not getting results, but they're playing well. You know, the club will quite happily turn around and say, right, get rid of him. It's not working. We're not back in the Champions League. You could need to get someone else. And it's a fine line now where they've got to walk very, very carefully. And
listen, they shouldn't, and see when they're getting players in, they shouldn't even be looking at talent. They should just be looking at mentality. You know, can a player come in with a positive attitude? Is it a player that's played in a pressing system? Because if you're going to succeed in the Premier League, you need to press. At some point, you need to press. You need to have high acceleration for a counter-attack. You need to have someone that can win the ball at some point and trigger a counter-attack. Those are a couple of things. You need one or the other, right? And I'd imagine that any team that wants to be up and winning and competing for titles and Champions League, they need to be a pressing side. That's just a modern game. Until it changes, it might change. I don't know. I never thought the number 10 position would die, and it died. So, you know, died a big death, a very quick death. So, we don't know what football's going to look like in 10 years, but that's what's needed now for players to win. So, they need those players with that kind of mentality that are willing to sort of work hard. You know, I mean, how often do you see a huge player at Manchester City on massive wages? When they're 3-0 up, still pressing at the 90th minute, because they know if they don't, they're not going to play, you know? Yeah. Manchester United, if things aren't immediately going their way, they just seem to just crumble. They
just
have no steel about them.
They?
Yeah. They have no steel about them. They don't. I mean, Brighton gave them a lesson in pressing, you know? If they want to learn what they should be doing or how they should be approaching a match, they just need to watch
that Brighton game.
How often do the Brighton players just in twos and threes just spring and it's sort of either into passing triangles or just winning the ball and then immediately hitting a counter-attack? That was great stuff. I mean, but I don't think the players are up for watching the games back I don't think they're up for training hard or anything like that. I'm not convinced, because if you are doing those things, then it shows in the pitch, and it clearly doesn't.
Yeah, certainly very true.
Right, should we talk about the relegation battle before and finish up there?
Certainly.
Yeah. So Leeds currently sit in the bottom three. Burnley above them, and Everton in 16th. Everton got a huge win today over Leicester. That which is what exactly what needed. They're starting. They've won two games in a bounce. Usually important. And the teams around them are starting to lose. Leeds got absolutely turned over by Arsenal. And Burnley, were beaten pretty heavily by Villa as well. So I think there was a lot of people on the red side of Liverpool that were maybe hoping that this would be when Everton got relegated. But it's looking more and more unlikely.
Yeah, they got spawny, haven't they? When they needed it. But no, you know, fair play to Everton. They sort of turned it on at the last moment, which is great for them. But I mean, with the amount of money again that this side has spent, they should never be in this situation anyway.
I know
if there's one side that has spent money poorly, it is Everton. You know, £500 million. You look at the team and you go, well, where's that money gone? Because I can't name you any of those players that they've signed for that money. Iwobi's finally starting to have a decent spell in the side, but what, 3 or 4 years after he signed?
I have no idea what position Iwobi is meant to be playing these days.
No.
I have no idea what that man is. Like, what are they See, when he's in training, like, what are they telling him? It's because he used to be a left-sided winger. When he was at Arsenal, that was his role, wasn't it? He was a left-sided winger. And he had a lot of pace, and that was his game. He's just playing all over the place.
But in comparison to Everton, Leicester, on the other hand, have been absolutely shambolic this season.
Oh, they've finished the season strong.
I mean, they don't finish the season strong, but I don't think they've got going this year. I mean, what is it now? I think they haven't won in five, which is crazy for a side that last season was fighting for the Champions League, you know, in the season before that. But for me, with Everton, the problem with Leicester is they have a massive inability to defend set pieces. And I know it's been said quite a lot this season, but Mason Holgate for the second goal was completely unmarked in like the 6-yard box, and it's ridiculous. But Leicester have been appalling, like, defensively. They've been so bad, and I don't even know where to explain where they can begin to explain it, because they've got a great team. Like, they're on paper, their side is very good. But what do you think about Leicester? Do you think that Rodgers is sort of nearing his natural sort of end with this side? Because it sort of feels like it's the way it was when he was at Liverpool, where they were doing well, and then they fell off a massive cliff.
Yeah, the cliff dive
the inevitable cliff dive.
And you never had that at Celtic, but it's a different situation. You're big fish in a very small pond.
Yeah.
Celtic, and when you're at Leicester, it's a different story. I don't really know. I mean, I think if you cast your mind back to Ellie Scribble's episodes from this season, we did worry about Leicester because they started the season quite poorly. And the point we were making back then is generally Leicester finish the season quite poorly, not started. Yeah. Normally they're out the gates, buff, loads of wins, are right up there. They're third, fourth, second in the table, you know, or fifth, even about those sort of, and they're consistently grinding out those wins. That never happened. I think the one sort of ray of sunshine is obviously the semi final of the Europa Conference, didn't they? But that, you'd expect them to deliver that.
You'd expect them to be getting through there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
As well. I know they played the Mourinho's Roma side, which is always difficult to beat, but surely they've got to look at that tie and go, this is winnable, this whole tournament, because I mean, they've not had much to smile about this season, have they?
No, I think Fofana was in a great line of form, and then that injury affected them, and he's obviously just coming back, and he's a young player, but he will be a good player, Wesley Fofana. But also, Soyuncu was such a key player for them for a long time. Or not even a long time, maybe a short time that felt like quite a long time, because he was that kind of important for them, if you remember. Yeah. And then he went off to the Euros, and I don't know if he's injured now, but he had a terrible Euros. He was on the bench, and then he's never really got going this season again. So that's the fact, a bit like, you know, this side should be doing better than what it is.
Absolutely.
And obviously, Jamie Vardy isn't up to his normal Jamie Vardy standards as well, which is a
fact.
Everybody could have seen coming for a very long time.
You can't rely on a 36-year-old striker to drag you through games anymore. It's not how it works, I'm afraid, Rodgers. That's not how it works. You've got to change it up. And we all knew that, you know, a couple of injuries to Vardy, and that's the end of Leicester. You know, it always has been. They get one injury up front and one injury at the back, and they just seem to fall apart. And they haven't done again this season. And it's happened again this year. And it's a bit.
I think it's like
you're coming a mile away. You can see it coming a mile away.
I think they give Rodgers next season. I think they give him the window and they see how Leicester start next season after a full pre-season. They obviously need a reset. I think they do need to go out and do a wee bit of business, especially maybe in that back line. And I think they could do another midfielder as well. They're using the young academy boy, Dewsbury Hall, who normally finds himself to sit burn in my football manager saves. And he's doing not too bad, but I think they could do a bigger presence in that midfield.
They need, you know, one of each for me. They need, you know, a striker, a defender, and a centre midfielder to begin with.
I don't feel like they're lacking firepower. I feel like Daka is a good striker. He could be a good striker. I feel like Ian Acho is a player I admire that I feel is just not quite ready yet, but like he's almost there. I think he just needs a season to tip in his favour, and he could be quite a good prospect. But that, I mean, they had Iosi Perez on today as well. I remember when they bought him for. But how much they spend on Iosi Perez? Like,
big, 20, big 30? Money.
Yeah, it was from Newcastle.
He's not really doing a lot, is he?
No, he scored some important goals, but he's not. I don't think he was ever there to be that important player, but they probably spent maybe a wee bit too much on him for what he's done. But yeah, it's hard to say, really. And obviously, Villa beat Burnley. And if we had a wee bit more time, we'd probably go deep into that. But right now, I'm looking at the table, and in my head, it's either going to be Leeds or Burnley that go down.
I think Leeds are my money, because they seem to be in a bit of free fall. Luke Ayling got injured as well, didn't he? He's out for about 7 years by the sounds of it, so that's not good for them either.
Well, James Tarkowski got injured he got a hamstring done for Burnley. So yeah, it's not Ben me and Tarkowski out, so I don't know what it's gonna be.
But then they're both gonna be, you know, assistant manager, so no, it'll be interesting. I think it'll go down to the wire, certainly for
could be last day of the season business dish, couldn't it?
Definitely.
I think that's going to do us for today, mate, because we are running out of time. Thank you very much for joining me, Jake.
Thank you very much. Thank you, mate.
And thank you very much for listeners. Thanks for downloading, and because we've noticed a massive increase in listeners, and that's always good news for us, and we do appreciate that. But until tomorrow, cheerio, bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.